Hey, dude, this dog like stinks, man.
Okay, groomer, do something about it, man.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Lift off. We have a lift off. Hey, all you pet stylists. You found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hey, Susie, what's up today?
Well, it is episode 408 of the Groom Pod. Recorded on April 7th, 2024 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. And we've got some cool things to do today. We're going to get an update on bath tablets. This podcast is brought to you by our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Precision Sharp, Groomore, and Stazco. And if you guys want to support us, you want to support Barbara in her move, or you want to support the show, you can do it at our website, thegroompod.com, where you will find a button that says Support Barbara Here, and another one that says Patreon. So, Barbara, what's new this week? Is brought to you by Groomore Software. If you haven't found Groomore, you're missing out. Groomore is an all-in-one software solution for your grooming business. Whether you are a solo mobile groomer or manage several shops, Groomore has everything you need. 24-hour online booking and forms, routing, credit card processing, reminders, Google Calendar and QuickBooks integration, and so much more. And the best customer service anywhere. Shop, mobile, or house call, Groomore has you covered. And they're giving us a free month. Just enter GroomPod22 in the coupon code. Oh, Barbara, I did my hiking ragdoll cat last week with the orange comb and with a clipper back. He was so happy with the way that cat looked. It was the perfect length, and I really think that that's a decent clipper comb length for a cat. It was very plush looking, but it wasn't long because he doesn't want to pick up all the garbage on the trails. And I think the cat was happier than being shaved. I think he doesn't really love to be shaved. So being a clipper comb cut, it wasn't as close to his body and he didn't mind. So it was really good. That was cool.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad. I'm so happy to hear that because the older I get, or the longer I'm in this industry, the less happy I am with these super close clips on cats, on dogs. And we're going to talk about this, but sometimes it can really ruin a coat.
Yeah, that's a fact. So the key to having it look really nice was getting all of the undercoat out of there. Because like I said, he doesn't have tangles, but he did have some trapped undercoat. So I combed him through really well first. And then I did the comb cut. Then I gave him a bath. Then I blew him out. And I was surprised at how even it was. Anyway, so the other thing that happened to me this week in my travels is I was working away on a dog. And all of a sudden, I heard my generator start to race. Really, like the choke had been left on or something. Ring! And then when I tried to put a draw on the power, like flip something on inside, it would cut out. And it was really weird. I still don't know quite what's going on, but it's 4.5 years into its life with me of almost everyday use. And it's just a cheap $400 generator.
Cheap $400. $400 is not cheap. Or anything.
2 years ago, it would be $359. Now it's $439. But it's still reasonable. It's still disposable in the lines of generators because if you want to buy a Honda, it's over $1,000.
Yeah, okay.
I get usually 4 to 5 years out of them, and I knew this one was coming to the end of its life. But now I'm in the field, if you will, and I have no generator, and I have to get through the rest of my day. And I wasn't quite sure what to do because I had a dog in downtown Seattle and I checked the oil and there was enough oil in there. I put a little bit more in just to be safe, but I didn't overfill it. And I started it up again and raced. So I turned it back off and I pulled my cord out and it had melted my extension cord, one of my littler extension cords.
Dangerous.
I know. It was very unhappy. I get to my next appointment and I have a different extension cord. So I plug that in and I turn the generator on and I can power the lights. So it's a lab. So I Dremeled the nails really quickly right at the beginning. And my water pump works without the generator. And my water's already hot. So I know I can bathe the dog and I can towel dry the dog. But I don't think I'm going to be able to dry the dog. But I was able to get the nails Dremeled, get the dog in the bathtub, give it a good bath, towel it off, put it on the table. And I could use one motor of my K9-2 without the system shutting down. So I dried the dog with one motor of my K9-2 and the water peeler, and I got her mostly dry. Then I came home. Yeah, and I have a backup generator, so I just swapped them out and left the other one for Terry. Then I went on Amazon, and just because I feel like it's at the end of its life, we ordered a new one. And guess what? The new one has a remote start.
Oh, hey.
I know.
How cool is that? Yeah.
I'm pretty excited because as it is, I have to climb over the top of the generator to get to the start button, even though it's electric on the other one. But for the time being, till April 22nd, I'm going to be pull starting that generator.
Your poor shoulder. Yeah.
But I will use my shore power as much as possible, which I usually do. There's a few houses where I can use the shore power with one of my K9-2 motors, where the dog is small enough, so that's a workable option. Plus, I can always plug in my handheld one, which gets hot, so I can use that to finish it off. But it's functional, but just one thing after another. Welcome to the world of mobile grooming. You just have to deal with these things. Anyway, so there's a few questions on our Facebook group. I thought we might, instead of what's new for you.
I actually have a question for them.
Oh,
I want some feedback because I got deep in the weeds with this math tablets assignment, and I just worried that it might be boring. I want our listeners to post to me on the Facebook page whether or not you find my technical explanations tedious. No, and it's not that I'm thinking I'm not doing technical explanations. It's just that I'm thinking about how deep is okay for you, because I get fascinated. I'm really not researching. I'm searching. I'm Googling. And now I've got my girlfriend, AI, or is it IA? No, it's AI. It's AI. You know, got to give her a name. And I'm chatting with AI, and I'm searching here and there and everywhere and into chemical websites and all this kind of stuff. But do you care? Y'all care? Where's the limit? Where does it get boring? Where does it get to be too much? Does it go over your head and you just sort of listen to it like it's music, or does it sink in that you get exasperated with me? Just like, give me some feedback about my technical information stuff. Okay, that's it. Please. Thank you. Anything.
Okay, shall we do the coat damage repair maintenance thing? Shall we do that one?
Yeah, let's do that question. That was a good one.
Okay, Heather Pope says, let me preface this question by saying that all groomers should know that shaving double-coated and triple-coated dogs is a practice that should be avoided because it damages the coat. That being said, after the damage has been done, are there best practices to try and rehab the coat? Products, procedures, suggestions, blah, blah, blah. This is on a husky coat. It's been shaved, she figures, repeatedly. And the coat is described as steel wool about an inch all over with scraggly guard hairs sticking through at about 2.5 inches. Her coat seems matted. I have given her one bath and nothing really blows apart or out. So she's looking for practical suggestions or references to specific coat rehab techniques. So there you go. And what I said was my standard go-to. I sent her the very early podcast we did about double-coated breed, where I talked about them being like old-growth forest, where when you cut down an old-growth forest, the problem with doing it is all the shrubbery grows back first. And those really big trees, the gigantic trees that make the shade and are so big, they take a really long, sometimes a lifetime to grow back, depending on how old the forest is. You may not see it in your lifetime. And sometimes that's the case with these dogs. But I know you have more technical information than I do.
No, I have my own impression. I went into my own head on that one too. And I thought about the skin. First of all, I said to myself, good luck, girl. That coat is fucked up.
Yeah.
And then they did not have success. And one of the reasons I did not have success was that I didn't have any customer that gets into that situation that's willing to change their ways and put a lot of money and time into bringing the dog in for treatments and whatnot. I can only hypothesize, but you're hypothesizing too. My hypothesis is that the skin frequency in the dog's skin is a unit. It's a together, holistic thing. It's not separate processes or separate parts of the body. The hair is of the skin. And I don't know, but sometimes I think that temperature and light changes on the surface of the hair somehow influence the hair growth. I do know that hair growth cannot be helped very much by topical application to the hair. You need to focus on the skin. And I think that that requires nutritional support as well as topical support. And I would suggest a skin and coat supplement. And I looked on Amazon and there's a few ones that look decent, as well as a probiotic supplement. The probiotic, because we have science that has identified that there's a link between gut health and skin health. When those hairs grow out all which way, wiry and all which way, that means the hair follicle is weird, because the hair follicle in the skin suggests what shape the hair is going to be. So it's gotten all weird inside the skin. It's not sticking straight up. It's not curved sideways to be a drop coat. It's just probably kind of fucked up. I don't know. It's not right. My hair follicles are no longer right. And the messaging from the body to the hair follicles is not happening as it should. It seems to me that the skin is trying to cover itself as fast as it can with anything it's got. And it just manufactures this hair stuff, which is more like primary coat than it is undercoat. And even the undercoat follicles, which are like separate follicles that are in the same hair pore, even those hairs are different now. And I think that the skin might be upset by having all that direct contact of UV rays, heat, cold, everything that is not by nature made to accept, because it grows this coat that acts as an insulation to the skin. And you take away all the insulation, skin just freaks out. That's how I see it. But that's all hypothetical. And it's just like all just my perception. And I could make a number of kind of scientifically valid hypotheses to test, but I don't have my pet skin care institute with all its research devices. Sorry, I can't do that. Too late. I didn't win the lottery.
There's definitely another influence, and that is the overall health of the dog. And you've got to rule that out first when stuff really doesn't grow back right.
I do have some other practical suggestions.
Okay.
I think that this is a good case to use the bathing tablets before the bath.
Okay.
Those bathing tablets are gentle enough to clean the skin without having the harsh ionic surfactants, and they give the skin some extra minerals to try to help it from the outside. And then I would consider not doing a shampoo every time. I would want to see the dog every 2 weeks, but I would not necessarily do a whole high lathering bath with a traditional shampoo. I would use the bath tablet thing as a cleanser and then follow it with a conditioner that might be particularly formulated for skin and coat regrowth, and that would be the Equus Megatech Pet Rebuilder Strengthen and Repair.
Okay. Would you do anything like a hot oil or?
I think hot oil is not a bad idea.
Okay.
I think you could try a hot oil treatment. I think you can also try conditioned bathe. Here again, you want to be as kind as you can to the skin. It's not the coat that you want, but you can't get the coat that you want until you get the skin to produce the follicles that you want, that it needs that coat, those hair strands that you want. And I think it's interesting that when you clip terrier hair down short, like wire coat, fox terrier, when you do those dogs down real short, the hair grows back soft and finer. But when you cut a Malamute down with a 10 blade, it might grow back coarser and wirier. So tell me, Mother Nature, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What's that all about? I find that very interesting, but I do think that skincare should be the focus, and then you just deal with the hair. I would say silicone spray to help you. Don't expect to get any undercoat out for a year. It's just not going to produce that undercoat until it's got a good cover, and then that undercoat just fills it out. I would just try a silicone spray so that you can, what you want to do is straighten it for a little bit, but it's just going to go back to its wiry kind of tangly state. It's like a Legodo Romanola coat, which can be just a beast to deal with in different degrees. But oh, and by the way, my Legodo Romanola that I've been grooming for a show finished her European championship under the judges that they import every year to come in and judge the European breeds.
Round of applause.
Yeah, round of applause. A success story there. And that dog, you can't keep it from matting. I mean, but that's another story. This is just a restoration project. And we don't have the exact scientific knowledge. The skin is still a mystery in many ways. Skin and hair is still a mystery to science in many ways. And this is one of those things, because there's not a medical implication or need to know. And when it doesn't grow back at all, alopecia, I think that condition is also related to messing up the hair follicles. That's what I think. I just think that that close clipping, it's not like the clippers do that. It's that removing all of that insulation allows the skin to be exposed to conditions that it was not made for. It was made to have that coat.
Would you mix up the therapies, or would you do a repeated therapy over and over again?
Well, I wouldn't repeat it if I wasn't getting anywhere. I would try it a couple of times, and then if I thought it was working, I would continue to use it, and I might throw in something else every now and then. I mean, and you could just use a bath bomb. The difference mainly being that the bath bombs have fragrance.
Okay.
That's another topic. We have more to say about that. Thank you. Okay. Don't worry. Not going there yet.
Let's take a break and hear from our sponsors. And then I've got one more question that I wanted to go over because I have thoughts. It's always good when you have thoughts, right?
Thoughts are good things.
Yes. Did you know that Stazco has come out with a couple of new products? First, there's the Stazco Oatmeal Protein Conditioner. This conditioner provides exceptional body and manageability and super shiny finishes. And it has a wonderful apple scent that I love. Great in the recirculator, too. And they have a new matching protein conditioning spray. Dematting, anti-static conditioning, and finishing all in one. Just like the original Stazco spray, but with that delicious apple fragrance. Look for these new products at trade shows and your favorite distributors like Cascade Grooming Supplies. Okay, so Becca Sarah says she has a question popped up in her mind and she figured maybe one of us smart people can help her out. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
She says, whenever I bathe the dog, I apply diluted shampoo to a dry coat, lather, rinse, then shampoo a second time. After I rinse thoroughly, I'll use the Max as a leave-in conditioner. Anyway, my question is about the shampoo steps. I usually rinse out the shampoo from the first application to almost completely out. However, is that necessary or is it just as effective if I mainly focus on pushing first shampoo off the skin on the entire dog before reapplying? And I just wanted to say the thing that struck me initially about this is, doesn't shampoo spread better on a wet coat than it does a dry coat?
That was the first thing that hit me too. That why are we putting shampoo on a dry coat? You're going to use more shampoo because surfactants need water, and yes, they've got water in them, but unless you're going to cover the whole dog with shampoo out of the bottle, you need to have the coat be wet. And using it on wet hair, there's just occasional times and specific products like the Easy Groom Degreaser product. It says apply to a dry coat. In fact, that's what went wrong when we had the Kelco Red White turn the Samoyed hips pink on the thighs where there was a lot of undercoat. And all that fuzzy undercoat picked up the pink dye, the red dye from the Kelco Red White. And there was no way to rinse that out. It had to grow out.
Oops.
Fortunately, we had a good-natured client. Your next batch will be no charge. We had a little boo-boo today.
I'm really happy that we had the same thought because I couldn't even get past that to the next part of the question until after we addressed that.
Yeah, it's been so long since I did two baths. But that's because we use a recirculating bathing system. It's so efficient. You just don't need two baths unless it's like some horribly yucky farm dog.
I can definitely see her needing two baths because the first bath isn't really moving that shampoo around very well. And then she's rinsing it right back off. So I also say if you're going to do two baths, you really don't need to rinse that shampoo off that much.
No, you don't have to rinse out the shampoo, but you're just not being very efficient in how you're approaching it. And I'm sure you were taught that way. So no judgment, just saying this does not seem to be an effective way to bathe. And the answer to your question is, no, you don't have to fully rinse out because you're going to do a full rinse at the end. What you do want to do is rinse out all of the shampoo surfactant before you apply the conditioner.
So they don't work against each other. Yeah. So that water that you're using to rinse the shampoo in between is so much better spent wetting the dog down at first. Same amount of water, much more efficient to get that dog wet and then just do one shampoo as long as you can get enough in there or add to your shampoo after you've started if you're feeling like you're not getting enough.
Yeah, that's another thing that you can do. You can add more shampoo in the process of that first bath. And if you're doing a recirculating system, you can add more shampoo to your mixture in the tub that you mixed up for the bath. You can just like squeeze more product down there, another pump or whatever. But you're going to use way more shampoo the way you're doing it. That's not economically efficient either.
Right.
The whole deal is a little bit off, and you can get a much better result. So whoever taught you to apply shampoo to a dry coat was wrong.
And this is a lovely opportunity to mention that you could certainly make yourself a bathing beauty if you can't afford to buy a bathing beauty and give yourself that bit of assistance, because that is money well spent. That's just much more efficient to use a recirculating bather than it is to repeatedly have to hand bathe your pets. Okay, let's take another break and then we'll be right back.
Shell Season has a great enzymatic cleaner called Kennel Fresh. And you dilute it with warm water and it smells good, and then it evaporates to be a deodorant. As the Kennel Fresh dries, it's enzymatic, it eats the bacteria and the odor source. So it's really good stuff. You can use it indoors or out. Find it at your local distributors or showseasongrooming.com.
We want to welcome Randy and Cheryl Lowe from Precision Sharp and invite you to check out their website where you can see their newest precise cut shear called Lynx. It's a patented design featuring a thumb ring that slides the length of the handle for perfect ergonomic placement of your thumb. Slide it and lock it into position to get your best groom on. Check it out at precisionsharp.com. Groomers, take your seats. It's time for B-Bird's Classroom. So we've got a slew of questions about bath bombs and the Gayu tablets, and we both use them of sorts, and we love them. And so one question asks, can a bath bomb be used in place of a Gayu tablet? Like, could I break off a chunk of bath bomb and put it in the shower head? Then another question was up here. Have y'all talked about TheraClean? In another group, there was a debate about the odor handler versus baking soda. Can that be part of the Gayu discussion? Those are the two questions. Deep in another thread was a question about what was in the Gayu tablets. So there you go. A whole passel of questions about this whole bath bomb fizzy tablets.
There's a whole big map of conflicting information about all of this. I'm going to take a little simple piece and extract it from our discussion. And that's the piece about comparing the baking soda versus the coat handler odor remover powder. So I would like for that person to get me the ingredients of the coat handler product. I think it's more than just baking soda. It might be another simple substance, however. I don't think it's baking soda. And I hope not, because they charge a fortune for it. So let's move on. Let's get back to the Gayu thing, because the Gayu thing, I have got so much information. It's all confusing. And part of the reason that it's confusing is that the name of all of these products are so similar because they patented the product, but not the name.
Oops.
The original Nagai tablet was created in Japan by a Japanese man, Shigeharu Koboshi, inventor and CEO of the original pet grooming tab. Contain the ingredients of sodium bicarbonate, citric acid, sodium carbonate, and PEG 6000, and sodium caprylyl sulfonate. The one ingredient in there that I would like to clarify from my previous discussion a few years ago is, what is the sodium carbonate? I was misled somewhat to believe that the sodium carbonate was in there to slow down the dissolving process of the tablet. Because let's remember that the original pet grooming tabs, well, all of these pet grooming tabs are created to be used in a shower head that holds the tab, and the water kind of goes in and around and through the tablet, and it slowly breaks down over the course of a shower, or with a dog, in the course of a dog bath. So they want to make it so that it takes 5 minutes or more to dissolve. And Susie, that's why you were disappointed with the groom bathing tablet in the recirculator, because it only takes a minute or two to do a recirculating bath, and your tablet wasn't dissolving and it wants warmer water than you were able to provide. So that makes the groom bathing tablets, and that's groom all caps. That's the American company that now makes their own groom tablets. And I'm not sure what the current ingredients are. I've sent them an email, and I sort of don't expect to hear from them. Here's one of the things. These tablets, the companies have been sold, and so now there's really two Nagayo companies. One is one that distributes mostly in Asia, and the other is the United States company, which is kind of separated from, I think there was a breakup of the original people. This happens all the time, over and over again. Two or three people get together and have an idea for a product. They figure it out. They make a patent application, which is like so hard to read. If you want your mind to turn into mud, read a patent application.
Right.
It's really hard to get through that stuff, but I did it for you.
So here's an interesting tidbit on Chewy. They list the ingredients, but they only list two ingredients. Do you think it has more than two ingredients?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the problem. Bathing tablets, right? With black package.
Yep.
By the way, the best price that I can find is Walmart online. The 50 tabs package costs like $51 anywhere. It's a pretty much a uniform price. But the 10 tablet package can cost times the price per tablet. So you need to shop around a little bit if you're going to just buy 10 tablets and try it out. Try it at Walmart online. And I'm so upset that they just say that. And they do it on Amazon and on Chewy. They just say either citric acid or sodium bicarbonate, or once in a while you'll see they put the two of it. They don't even like to advertise that they've got both. That because there's a lot of us that would see sodium bicarbonate citric acid and think, oh, bath bomb. But the sodium carbonate, I thought, was in the bathing tablets to slow down the process of dissolving. And I learned this time around, that sodium carbonate is washing soda, also known as soda ash. And it's washing soda. Arm & Hammer makes one.
Oh.
And washing soda is a very tough cleaner. I mean, it's for cleaning tough stains and grease. And it's what provides the extra cleaning ability of these tablets that are just little pucks. So how are you going to get enough surfactant in a little puck to make it 5 minute bath? And all of these ingredients have to be powder in order to make a tablet. It's not a liquid mixture. You can't mix the liquids and then dry it out into powder and pat that into tablets. No, you have to work with powders. And that probably the thing that slows down the dissolving the most is the PEG 6000, which is a binder and an ingredient that does that. It slows down dissolving, and it makes things dissolve more uniformly. The sodium carbonate is just same as washing soda. Exactly the same. That's what washing soda is, sodium carbonate. Not to be confused with sodium bicarbonate, which makes the bubbles. But here's something that I want to bring to your attention. Because the Nagayu, I want to read this to you. Their marketing, it angers me. The marketing here is that upon absorption, your dog's skin synthesizes and releases nitric oxide onto the lining of blood vessels. This results in an increase in blood circulation and oxygen absorption throughout your dog's body. As a result, cells then receive more nutrients and oxygen, which gives your dog's body a boost in metabolism, which in turn then speeds up the healing process. Releases nitric oxide. How can sodium bicarbonate, sodium carbonate, and citric acid release nitric oxide? There's no nitrogen in those substances. I don't understand that. I don't think it's true. When you ask the science about carbon dioxide bathing or carbon dioxide and the healing of skin, you get some mixed results. There have been some particular clinical study where they show a dog's foot that was infected and they soaked it in this stuff and it healed. But they didn't have another foot to soak in something that wasn't their stuff and show that it didn't heal. And there was another study in Brazil that said that the carbon dioxide didn't seem to have any healing value whatsoever to the skin. So there's conflicting science. And mostly the science that appears to support their claim, I can't understand it. I mean, that's not a big deal. If I can't understand it, I certainly don't expect you to understand it. But I also don't want you to just like buy in to their explanation. That's just a lot of gobbledygook bullshit. Excuse me, I said it.
I'm looking at bath bombs from the dollar store. And this is the 3-pack.
Yes.
This one, they've put some smelly stuff in them. I can't seem to find the unscented ones at this moment. But it has sodium bicarbonate, sodium sulfate, citric acid, fragrance, water, magnesium sulfate, vanilla, and fruit extract and honey extract. That's pretty simple, right?
Yeah. You've got the sodium bicarbonate and the citric acid, and then what, sodium sulfate?
Yes.
Well, let's look that up.
That's the three ingredients above fragrance. So that's going to be it. Ooh, they have a fruit punch flavor, but you only get two.
This is an interesting definition of sodium sulfate anhydrous. So anhydrous means without water.
Okay.
Is the anhydrous sodium salt form of sulfuric acid. Sodium sulfate anhydrous disassociates in water to provide sodium ions and sulfate ions. Sodium ion is the principal cation of the extracellular fluid and plays a large part in the therapy of fluid and electrolyte disturbances. That's interesting. What's it doing in a bath bomb? Okay, so that means you have to say, instead of just searching for sodium sulfate, you need to search for sodium sulfate in bath bombs. I should do a class that would teach you how to search.
Yes, you should.
Because really, that's my talent. It's not that I'm such a whiz kid. It's just that I learned how to search.
Oh, you're pretty whizzy.
Okay. There is another ingredient that I would put in a bath bomb, and it's called sodium lauryl sulfate acetate, SLSA. Sometimes they make the A little letter, capital S, capital L, capital S, little A, and it's a ultra-mild cleansing surfactant.
Oh, that would be a good thing.
That would be a good thing, yeah. So it's sodium lauryl sulfoacetate. That's how it's called, sulfoacetate. And it's not terribly expensive, and you wouldn't need to use more than a couple of tablespoons for a bunch of bath bombs, so...
We're going to do some experimenting, aren't we?
Yeah, so that's my next subject. I also have a substance called Natrasorb, which is a modified tapioca starch that has been made into a powder emulsifier that can be used to mix oily ingredients, essential oils, fragrance oils, almond oil, whatever oils you want to add to a bath bomb, you add it to this stuff called Natrasorb and mix it in well, and then mix that in with your citric acid and sodium bicarbonate mix, your bath bomb mix. Then when it hits the water, the Natrasorb dissolves immediately. Plus, it makes some bubbles, and it releases those ingredients, and it's super, super absorptive, so you can really get a heavy fragrance in there if you want to. Now, you know, I have the mixed feelings about fragrance, but we're going to experiment a little bit with that. I want to come up with a recipe that maybe we could even get one of our manufacturing friends to make a product for us to use as an alternative skincare bathing product. There's certain things that I really like about the bathing tablet concept. One of them is that it's not in a gallon of plastic. I want to get rid of all that plastic. It makes me feel guilty every time I throw one in the trash. Yet, and who has the wherewithal to rinse out all of their gallon jugs and put them in the recycling? I don't. Create so much lather, and you're just in there 15 minutes cleaning out an empty shampoo jug. No, sorry. Can't do. So I buy the guilt.
Right.
To pay for the time that I save not rinsing it out. I'll take a little guilt, and I'll throw it away. To the dump. The show season texture shampoo, it was a question from the Facebook group. It doesn't really have any ingredient that, it's a product that has less rather than more additional, right?
Okay.
It just doesn't soften the coat. And so many of the ingredients for shampoos, especially because they're made originally for human hair, and everybody likes softer human hair, but we don't always want softer dog hair.
Right.
Texture shampoo is one that doesn't affect the texture. If you want something that actually kind of adds texture, Number One Systems has a texturizing shampoo. I think it contains cornstarch or something. I don't know. It will stiffen the coat a little bit. Otherwise, you need to use a spray or a mousse.
That's what I do when I need to add some texture.
I love mousse. I really love mousse. It's fun. It feels good in your hands. I like it. It's good. It's been designed to have a good touchy feel. It's been designed to feel good in your hands so that you'll use it. And I like it because of that. And it's easy to spread. And it will dry.
So that stays for a little while till the hair beats it up and it comes off. So there's nothing really that you can do to change the texture of the hair for any long-term benefit.
No, you can do it for a show day or a party day or a grooming day. It just improves the look of that dog going out the shop. And I'm for that.
Yeah, me too. Okay, well, thank you for being here. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Remember to support the show and support our sponsors. We might have some guests coming up in the future. I think we're going to have Randy from Precision Sharp on to talk a little bit about shears, and I look forward to that. We might have Dave back on also in the near future. Meanwhile, you're stuck with the two of us, and we are very happy to be here sharing our mornings with you. And that's about it. Anything you want to add, Barbara?
No, I'm good.
Cool. Happy grooming, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourself, because you deserve it. Bye-bye.